Good evening, councillors.
Are we on?
We are. Good evening, staff. Good evening, sir. Welcome to this special council meeting number 10 on Monday the 6th of June 2016. I declare the meeting open and advise all in attendance that it is council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with council policy, I now ask staff to confirm that the audio recording has commenced. General Manager has confirmed. I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land and pay respect to them and their customs, and also to their elders past, present and future. In attendance tonight, we have myself, Councillor Wass, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Reid, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Winter and Councillor Grace. Staff, we have the following staff: our General Manager, Mr. Gary Arnold, our Deputy General Manager, Mr. Tony Ferrier, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. John Breen, our Manager Finance, Mr. Tim Jones, our Executive Manager Organisational Development is Penny Hughes, our Executive Manager Engineering Services, Mr. David Reeve, our Media and Communications Officer, Ms. Sarah Wilcox, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs. Amanda Morton. We'll move on to page two, apologies. There are no apologies, as indicated earlier, and I ask councillors now if there are any declarations of interest. There are no declarations of interest. We'll move to page three. The first report we'll be dealing with tonight is the review of the long-term financial plan and the long-term asset management plan, and there is a recommendation on page six. I have a mover in Councillor Percy. I'm looking for a seconder, Councillor Fox. Councillor Percy.
Thank you. Kingborough Council has been operating with an underlying deficit for many years. It is not sustainable and needs to be corrected. All councils in Tasmania have been put on notice by the TAS Audit Office and the State Government to prepare long-term financial plans, forecasting how they will move to underlying surpluses. The current long-term financial plan for Kingborough Council, which was revised in 2013, was projecting an underlying operating surplus in 2020-21. It was based on a 4% rate increase until 2020-21 and then a 2% rate increase thereafter. Tonight's proposed long-term financial plan, which I support, proposes that the surplus will be a year earlier in 2019-20. This is despite an additional $1 million of depreciation being expensed per year. $500,000 is due to componentisation of road infrastructure, and the other $500,000 due to the results of a revaluation of assets done earlier this year. These increases in depreciation are a result of external audit instructions from the TAS Audit Office, and the quantum of these increases has only come to light in the past 12 months. To offset this increased depreciation, the long-term financial plan reflects savings in other areas through efficiencies and a reduction in the forecast expenditure on other expenses such as materials and contractors. Council does not have much flexibility to reduce expenses. Expenses such as employers' costs, which are increasing by 3.3% per annum, make up about 38% of the council's total expenses, and they are committed for the life of the current enterprise bargaining agreement to 2017. Council has kept the current employee numbers constant over the life of the long-term financial plan. These employee numbers will be needed to be carefully managed. The population of the municipality is expected to grow significantly, and with this comes increased infrastructure, which will need to be maintained and put greater demands on our outside workforce. Whilst it is always hard to determine what programs the community wants, council to provide and to what level of service council has recently tested this. The community with surveys and also community consultation. We believe that the programs and services council is providing and costed in the long-term financial plan are the community's expectations. This was done recently with the family daycare program and the volunteers program, and this will be an ongoing process as the opportunity arises. The federal government's financial assistance grant is a significant contributor to the council's revenue in the past few years, and going forward the FAGS has and will remain in the 2014 level with no CPI increases until 2018-19. The cumulative effect on revenue has been about $400,000 to $500,000, and this is significant. The TAS Audit Office has also advised that Council should be working towards 100% renewal of infrastructure assets. Currently, Council is at approximately 80%, and even with With a sustained period of underlying surpluses during the life of the proposed long-term financial plan, Council will only achieve a level of 90% by 2024-25, and this is a concern. The long-term financial plan also includes a stormwater removal rate to assist in the upgrade and replacement of an ageing and overworked stormwater system. With the increase in our population resulting in new subdivisions coming online and increased infill development, have both put additional pressure on our mainstream stormwater infrastructure. Not to upgrade our stormwater would be irresponsible. Severe flooding could occur in periods of heavy rainfall and times of storm surges, and that could be days similar to today if we receive the amount of rainfall that other parts of the state have got. This upgrade of stormwater will also limit the amount of pollution entering our waterways. With Taswater, we have seen what happens when failing infrastructure is not renewed. During 2016, an independent review of the financial sustainability of the council was undertaken by accountants Weislord and Ferguson. This was done by reviewing the long-term financial plan and the underlying assumptions. They found that council asset renewal requirements are not fully funded within the long-term financial plan, which I've already mentioned. Council operations are critically reliant upon rate and grant revenue. Comparatively, Kingborough Council's rate charges are currently one of the lowest amongst councils in Tasmania. Rates charges for Kingborough based on the average property capital value of $370,000 are $1,206. Comparable for Clarence is $1,348, Hobart $1,446 and Sorrell $1,562. It was also noted that the median weekly household earnings for ratepayers in the community are significantly higher than the average for Tasmania. Kingborough has an average of $1,208 and Tasmania is $948. Weislaw and Ferguson also found that the forecast and assumptions used by Council for employee costs are low in comparison to prior years' rates of increase. A sensitivity analysis has not been included in the long-term financial plan for all the Council's high risk, only three of the 24's assumptions. Before becoming elected as a councillor 18 months ago, I was very critical of the Council continually having underlying operational deficits. The current long-term financial plan addressed that problem, and since then an additional $1 million per year of depreciation and a reduction in the financial assistance grants has significantly affected the future financial performance of the Council. The long-term financial plan proposed tonight addresses these challenges to Council. The 4% per year increase in rates will not be received well by the community, nor will the $56 per year stormwater removal rate. However, it would be irresponsible of this Council and councillors to reduce the rate increase in order to provide a short-term popular decision whilst ignoring the sustainability of the Council operations. As councillors, we are elected to be responsible for strategy and policy. Strategy suggests long-term planning, not short-term fixes. As Weislaw and Ferguson highlighted in their review, Kingborough rates charges were one of the lowest council rates in the state. The underlying deficits have come about from a revenue deficiency, not an expenditure blowout. Councillors and council management will need to make sure that the council-run programs are those that the community expects of our council and ensure that community receives value for their rates. This long-term financial plan is very tight when it comes to balancing the expected incomes to expected outgoings. Whilst we must review this document regularly, we should also ensure that we use it as a blueprint when determining any program proposals put to Council. I fully recommend that Council adopts a long-term financial plan and long-term asset management plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Grace.
Mr Mayor, I certainly won't be voting for the financial plan, and I'll just outline a couple of my reasons for that, is that we never come up with an alternative budget, even though we did have a good sitting this year. It was much better than most years, but we've not been given a budget where we could reduce rates, and that's something I've been fighting for since I've been on this council, as silly as it sounds, and it appears I'm the only one that does think that way. In the $37 million that we have in a budget, we also look at the cost of our plant, look at the cost it costs us to do our works.
Point of order. This motion, Mr Mayor, refers to the long-term financial plan, to which Councillor Grace is only referring to the budget, which is a different motion altogether.
Well, I retract it to the financial report. I don't think, in fairness,
long-term financial plan is
not giving the ratepayers a full indication of what we're actually doing.
We're going to either support or otherwise the long-term financial plan and the long-term asset management plan.
So. Yeah, well, I'm not going to support it, as I said, but I just wanted to outline some of my reasons. But if I'm out of order, I'm out of order. But
you've got another opportunity later on when we get the budget. Thank you. Councillor Winter.
Yeah, thanks. So I really appreciated Councillor Percy's sort of summary of everything we've been doing over the past, it's been 3 or 4 months, and we haven't only been looking at the budget, we've been looking, in a sense, at the long-term financial plan as well, and discussing it. I just want to start by complimenting the General Manager and the CFO on a much better, I think, in my opinion, we had a good hearing in terms of the process for putting this together as well as the budget. And I felt like I was able to put forward suggestions, hear opinions, and I felt like, even though it wasn't perfect, the process was much better this year than last year in coming to where we've got to. I've been desperately searching, in terms of what this comes down to is, for me, is a decision about, well, to me, what we're clear on is that we have a deficit problem. We have a deficit, as Councillor Percy alluded to, we've been running deficits for a long period of time now, and we're planning now to come out of it sooner than anticipated, but we're doing so by dealing primarily with revenue as opposed to expenditure. I've since almost exactly 12 months ago, I have mellowed a little bit in my approach to this, whereas last year I wasn't prepared to consider rate rises above CPI. This year I feel like we're in a much better place, and when I talk about that, I'm talking about the General Manager's put in place, correct me if I'm the term, I think expenditure review or efficiency review, that a process now to look at finding efficiencies within the programs we're doing. I'll frame this as a question perhaps. General Manager, are there any targets of that process within the long-term financial plan? I mean, so we're going through an efficiency review. Are there any targets set for finding those efficiencies within the long-term financial plan?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Winter, not as such in the long-term financial plan. We have reported on one occasion thus far to an ordinary council meeting, and there will be regular future reports, but the short answer to your question is no.
Cool. So I guess that's my point, is that I think it's a really good start what the General Manager has in place, but what I'd really like to see within the long-term financial plan is some actual targets around those efficiency savings. So, you know, can we look at 1% or 2% across the estimates, and by doing that, are we able to perhaps reduce the expectation of rate rises from 4% down to something closer to CPI, and I think that would be much more that would fit in with community expectations a lot better than I think 4% rate rises will be. And I think, you know, the headline for me anyway, the headline of this will be 4% rate rises for 10 years, and even though it's not set in stone, that's the plan here, and I'm uncomfortable with that. So whilst I think we're in a much better place with this than we were, I still can't support it, and I really wish that I could, and I've been sort of considering it at length for the past week, and just haven't been able to bring myself to support it at this stage. And I hope that with further work next, you know, I'm going to get to the point where I can be on board with the council's plan to come back to surplus, because I really like to be on board with that. At the moment, for me, it's just still too much emphasis on increasing revenue and not enough emphasis on reducing expenditure. And as part of that, I guess I'd also say that not only finding efficiencies over the long term, I think we've also got to... It's not just up to the General Manager, it's also up to councillors to come up with... to really review the level of services that we're providing, and are all of the services we're providing applicable to local government, and are they appreciated, and are they of value or greater value than a lower rate rise would be. In terms of the comparison of rates, just going back to that, I've been looking at all of the reports, been looking at things like the Southern Council's Authority's review of amalgamations a few years ago. I've been looking at the Auditor General's report, and really trying to benchmark us against other councils, and I haven't been able to do it. I don't think it's as simple as what Councillor Percy referred to in terms of just being able to get the median house price and say we're better than other councils, because I think it's a lot more complicated than that. But I haven't seen any great work, and there's a little bit of work being done in Victoria about this at the moment. And I think that would be really good if organisations like ELGAD or the state government could work on better benchmarking us against other councils. Because if I could prove to myself that we were the lowest rating council or amongst the lowest rating, I would be much more comfortable with this. But at the moment, this is going to be worth around $500 or $600 over 10 years to someone owning a house of the median value. And for me, that's just too much. So, unfortunately, I won't be able to support this tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Winner. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd also like to thank the General Manager and the officers for the work that's gone into this. As all the councillors know, it's been a long process and I think an improved process over last year, which was the first budget I've taken part in. And I've listened with interest to the discussion and different views from the various councillors. I think it's good that we've had some of this discussion. The process isn't perfect, but it's improving. On what Councillor Winter's raised about the revenue compared with other councils, it's an important issue. You know, yes, the various benchmarks might not be the most accurate way of comparing, but what I've seen to date shows that we're not a high-rating council, and and the advice from the Tasmanian Audit Office, etc., is that we're a low-rating council on the benchmarks that we have available, and that's what we have to work with. I agree with Councillor Percy in his summary that it really is a revenue problem that we have, and there's been stuff in the press from the Property Council, amongst others, of how rates shouldn't increase more than CPI. I disagree with what's been stated there. I think that CPI is not a good indicator of how council rates should increase. The council cost index is a more realistic indicator of the increasing cost to council of doing business, which is higher than CPI. But there's other things to take into consideration, like the federal assistance grants being frozen, which is effectively a decrease in our revenue, and that we are not funding the renewal of our assets, and that's a historical problem. How we got to this situation, I don't know the history, but my understanding of the finances is we're not bringing enough money to keep our assets up, renew the assets that are depreciating every day. And so that's why we have to increase rates faster than CPI. It's a historical problem. We have to get back up to a level where we're still covering the cost of our roads and our footpaths and everything else that we own, because at the moment we're losing value on those and we're not getting enough revenue to cover them. Councillor Winter's points about what services council provides or what council does for the community are important, and I'm glad that there's internal reviews of efficiency of those processes and also ongoing discussions, which we have all through the year about what's relevant, what the community wants. And I think we have healthy debate because we all have exposure to different parts of the community and different opinions on what the role of council is. And I think that's good that there's 10 of us with different backgrounds and different ideas of that, so we have that discussion. That's the point of, to me, the point of having 10 councillors and not 10 appointed bureaucrats or 10 people that can run a very efficient council but perhaps don't have that variety of opinion. So I'm going to support this long-term financial plan. Based on everything I've heard, I've got no reason to doubt that it's the direction we should be going. And once again, I'd thank the officers for the work and their patience with us while we've had these discussions, because we've had hours of talk about this stuff.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Chatterton.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, a 10-year financial plan really is a living and working document. And whilst the figures in the document this year a councillor or councillors may not agree with, but you have time to adjust those, and Councillor Winter's right, in you're finding you might find savings or you might find some other things that change it again next year. So the 10-year plan is an ongoing 10-year plan, because as one year drops off, another one comes on. So you have a continual 10-year plan. It was interesting, the document that Wise Lord and Ferguson, when they did their independent review, did. And if I may, Mayor, just one particular section I'd just like to read here. It says, for council to continue to provide their current level of services to the community and be able to maintain their infrastructure and assets to a suitable standard, there needs to increase pressure to increase revenue, not cut expenses. Currently, there is a limited options for council to increase revenue other than increase rates. It is noted that comparatively, Kingborough Council's rates are currently one of the lowest amongst councils in Tasmania. And Councillor Percy referred to that, but this is in the review by our auditors, Wise Lord and Ferguson. It's on their review, and I'm pleased that Councillor Winter has the page open in front of him to check me to make sure what I'm saying is correct. But these think figures will all go to the audit panel, and it's looked upon, and we have three independent people on that audit panel that review our finances as well, so we have checks and balances coming in all the time. Councillor Ankerson was quite right, you know, when talking about CPI and council costs, you know, it's very hard. You know, the average person in the street says, oh, CPI is only going at 1.2% or 1.1% or its level or whatever, but they don't understand what goes into that basket of goods that make up that CPI. And at any time, a government of the day can change that basket of goods, and they change it to suit what they want to see at the time. And that's why, with council's CPI that comes out through Legat, that they look at the things that actually affect councils. And as Councillor Percy quite rightly said, 38% of our expenditure is on staffing costs. Now, whether you can save on staffing costs, I'm not going to go into that issue, but at the moment, that has to rise 3.3% because that's what their annual increase has been awarded under an agreement between the union and the council. So we're locked into that. We can't change that. The only way we can change that expenditure is perhaps alter the number of staff, but that's the only way you can do it. You can't do it any other way. As far as the renewal of assets, that story has been going on for many years, and when the Auditor-General changed things not very many years ago, he changed the rule and said we had to fully fund our depreciation. And I think the easiest way to explain that to the average person in the street is like saying you buy a car for $30,000 and today when you take it out of the showroom it drops $4,000. Well, you've got to fund that $4,000 on that car this year. We don't do it in our own pockets in life, but council has to. And council's got to have that money set aside to ready to replace that. I'm using it as an example as a car. So if you put a pipe in the ground and it costs you $1 million and you've got to depreciate that over a period of years on a special formula, and we have to put that money away. Yes, we've got money in the bank, but we have to have it there because that's the law that we have to abide by, whether we like it or whether we don't. I think the 10-year financial plan is a very good document. I'll totally support it, but as I say, it's a living document and plenty of work can be done next year, and changes can be put in and change things. The other thing that might come up, we might end up with amalgamations. And, if amalgamations may happen in 2 years' time, we don't know, but they may. And if they do, this 10-year financial plan is really only going 2 years. So let's not worry about too much what's out there in 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, because I tell you what, things are going to change a lot before you even get to those years.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I have to admit, I've waxed and waned on this. And because I was troubled by the 4% rate increase that was reflected in this. I don't have a problem with the stormwater charge because I think it is well demonstrated in all the documentation that we've seen that we need to make that investment, and we're not going in the short and medium term, and we're not in a position to be able to do that without having an additional charge for that. But I almost feel like these agenda items around the wrong way. I would have liked to have considered the budget first and then looked at this, because I feel like you're kind of locking yourself in by having this one first. It could be a bit of a chicken and egg argument, but that was just the way my brain processed it. I think, look, others may comment on the process. I think we did have an improved process this year, and I thank everyone who took part in that. I think probably what I am most frustrated by is the fact that we weren't able to pinpoint expenditure, recurrent expenditure that we were prepared to put across through in order to have a lesser rate rise. And I think there were three or four of us collectively who voted for several items that, you know, could have saved us 0.5% or 1% in a rate rise, and nobody else would support that. And I understand what's being said about, you know, we have it's a revenue problem, not an expenditure one. But I think that I would have liked to see us lessen the pain over the life of this by reducing some expenditure items, and that is tough, but that's unfortunately sometimes the way you have to do it. Having said that, I can't argue with the basis of the plan. I think it's very sound, and I just would have liked to have seen it with a 3% or less of an increase, because it does make me uncomfortable to have to say to ratepayers, well, this is what you are going to face for the next 20 years. And so I think it is incumbent upon us, and I like what Councillor Chatterton just said about it being very much a living document, because we don't know what the future in local government is going to look like in the next 2 years, 5 years, let alone 10 years. So I do see this very much as a living plan, and one that can be amended by us as circumstances change. And if circumstances change that our revenue increases significantly far more than projected because of all of a sudden we become an even more desirable place to live than we already are, then I think we need to be prepared to revisit this so that we're not giving a message to ratepayers about a 4% increase over for the life of the document. But I will support this tonight, and I'll have some more to say when we get to the budget.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to thank everybody for their contribution. It's been, I think it's been a very, very good discussion so far. But, yeah, I mean, the issue that really is the killer for us has been depreciation and the need to actually fully fund it. Those who read the paper about the situation with the water and sewage infrastructure and the actual requirements for capital expenditure on that will realise that councils all around Tasmania were, to put it mildly, not keeping up with depreciation of their assets at the time. That's what happens if you don't actually keep up with depreciation, and someone has to pay the price in the end, and actually we as a council are paying the price. We're actually foregoing dividends. I suspect that won't be the first year we'll do that. I did notice, like others, the property council told us we shouldn't increase their rates. I would have been much more impressed with that statement had they said they had no intention of increasing the rental charges on any of their renters in their properties around the states. That would have actually had a little more meaning for me. I didn't see it in their statement. All the time we've been on council, you worry whether there's some way of reducing expenditure somehow or another that actually you can be more efficient somehow. I mean, okay, so we can, it's possible we can be more efficient, but it seems to me that the general manager and staff are going through a process with reviews in the various departments that will give us some sort of guidance as to whether this is possible. My experience of actually reducing expenditure is that you pay for it somewhere else. That's not to say that savings are not possible, but I don't know, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Fox, I would have thought it must be very welcome for you to be on council for that length of time to actually have a plan in front of you, actually a 10-year financial plan that actually gives some guidance. And as Councillor Chatterton says, it's a living document. I'll be supporting the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Fox?
I'll definitely be supporting this motion, and it's interesting that Councillor Berry just said that we'd be happy to, or Councillor Chatterton and I'd be happy to have a 10-year financial plan in front of us. I can still recall when we did some strategic planning saying that we should be thinking 20 years ahead, and a lot of people couldn't think that far ahead, but now that's probably more than 20 years later. And I feel that a 5-year financial plan has been in place for a long time and has been upgraded every year. And I realise that in the past, when we didn't go up with the depreciation costs, that we did pay the price. But I do think that with the sewerage and water, this council would be very proud of the fact that we had no debt in terms of sewerage and water. We were ahead of the game, and we paid dearly for that at the time. We paid millions of dollars to keep our treatment plants running, and they were debt-free when we handed them over to Tas Water, and there wouldn't be many councils that could say that. But I do think this is a good plan, and it's also been a very good process, and I appreciate the fact that we've had some robust debate and good workshops, and good input from both councillors and staff. And I do think we should accept and work with this strategy and modify it, as Councillor Chatterton says, but I think it's a good beginning for us to start with. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Bastard.
This being the first time I've been on council when something like this has come up, there's not really a lot I want to say. I will be supporting it, but I am unhappy with, not unhappy with the 4% per annum, but unhappy with the addition of the introduction of a stormwater removal rate. It's like the Beretta tip rate. It's these plus pluses that I think are very hard to sell. I would be much happier if we had a flat rate rise and didn't have to say this is what it's for. And I know that we've been told that it's a good thing. You can say to people, well, this is what we're spending this amount of money on, and this is what we're spending that on, but it's a harder sell in some parts of the community. So we can't say, for instance, that part of our rates are being used for street lighting, or part are being used for gutters and curbing, or the stormwater removal rate, when it doesn't actually apply to them. So that's my only query in this, but I will be supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. I'd just like to add a few comments before I invite Councillor Percy to close debate. I'd like to start off by thanking staff and councillors for, I guess, the debate we've had over many months. I don't think anything ever gets to be necessarily perfect, but we do need a 10-year financial plan, and we do need a 10-year asset management plan. This year it calls for 4%, and there are some issues. Of course, the foregone income that we've suffered as the result of the dividends to Tas Water. We've also had our FAGs, or financial assistance grants, frozen, and that has made significant amount of money, if you like, that we have foregone or lost opportunities. In a growing municipality such as Kingborough, infrastructure needs are always paramount, and of course the depreciation, or the funding of that depreciation, and more infrastructure, of course, is never ending. A number of years ago, when I was first joined council, we did a SWOT analysis, and our biggest threat, of course, was the growing municipality in numbers, but our biggest opportunity, of course, was the growing numbers as well, because that way we could afford we'd have financial security and financial ability to pay those off. I think the six key principles which underline the long-term financial plan are worth noting. The first one is to maintain a fair and equitable rating structure. Number two is to maintain the current service levels. Number three, improve council's financial performance. And four, to achieve an operating surplus. Five, progressively increase funding for asset renewal. And the word progressively increase, I think, is the important part of that one. And finally, to improve Council's financial position and capacity to fund new projects. There's always projects out there that we wish to fund, and certainly without a plan we're unable to. I think a number of councillors have correctly summarised and said the benefits of the long-term financial plan, so I echo their thoughts. I guess in relation to the stormwater removal, look, I don't like the idea of introducing an amount of stormwater removal, but I think it would be wrong not to, for the simple reason, I can hear the rain on the roof at the moment. I saw Browns River this afternoon about 3 o'clock, not very far off the banks. I've seen a couple of other rivers today which are getting close to the bridges, and if we don't do anything with our stormwater and we allow that to go, the inundation of homes and other properties and various infrastructure could be devastating and could cost us millions of dollars into the future. We're aware of it, and if we don't act upon it, then unfortunately what is our insurance company going to say to us? And our insurance company will quite rightly say, well, you were aware of that, you've done nothing to mitigate it, so listen, you've got to share some of the burden. And of course that financial impost would then put us further behind the eight ball. Councillor Percy, I'll invite you to close debate.
Good, thanks very much, Mr Mayor. Yeah, Kimberley Council needs this strong long-term financial plan. It ensures the council is sustainable into the future. Although it can be somewhat flexible, we need to relate to it when we look at proposals that are put before council. I think sometimes, and we're all guilty of this, we say yes to things that are proposed. They sound good, but then you've got to pay for them. And I think we should always consider that in terms of long-term financial plan as well. We have been hit hard this year with extra depreciation and the reduction in the financial systems grants, and I definitely agree with the Mayor there about the about stormwater upgrade, because we do need it. It could quite easily have floods around the area, and it's a hidden cost to ratepayers as well if their insurances have to pay out all the time because they're being flooded. So I probably agree with long-term financial plan and asset management plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Fox, that Council formally adopt the long-term financial plan and the long-term asset management plan. I'll ask councillors in favour to say aye, and those against to indicate. We'll have a display of a show of hands, rather, or a division. Those in favour of the motion are councillors Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reek and Watts, and opposing the motion, Councillor Winter, Councillor Grace. Motion is carried. The second item before us is the Operational Budget and Rating Resolutions 2016-17. Starts on page 60. Am I correct there, Mr. General Manager? I am. And there is a recommendation, councillors, starting on 64, the first one, the Annual Estimates Operating Budget, which will be the first one that we will look at. Councillor Grace, you've moved the one on 64. Thank you. Do I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Grace?
The budget, we went through again. Some of the things I'm not happy with, but you can't, as individual councillors, you can't always be happy, because if I wanted what I wanted for the community, there'd be nothing left for anyone else. So I've got to accept, and I do admit I have to accept the budget. What I spoke on earlier with this financial plan that we've got. I think Councillor Berry raised also, and we know that the GM is looking into, and hopefully, as Councillor Atkinson said also, next year will be much better, because we can work now for a year for the General Manager to come back with information for us, so we're more wiser next year when we set the budget, and I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, what I'm going to say is probably very similar to what I said in the long-term financial plan, so I'll try and reduce it a fair bit. Although a 4% increase may not be popular with the community, councils have a duty of good governance to ensure that council remains sustainable. We also need to ensure the council provides a level of service expected by the community and that the assets are replaced or upgraded when required in order to contribute to that service level. As I said before, with a growing community, new infrastructure is required. When this is often provided by developers, however, the municipality expands, it puts more strain on the current infrastructure. And I'll just relate to the Wiseland first, the sustainability report, where they said that the problem was revenues and not expenses. And the Kingborough is one of the lowest rated municipalities in Tasmania. As previously mentioned about the depreciation, extra $1 million has come into our expenses this year. And also this year we've introduced a stormwater removal rate. Stormwater system is getting challenged due to the amount of new subdivisions and also the increase in infill development occurring. Needs an influx of expenditure. As I said before, and it's been agreed by others, we don't want to get a situation like Taswater where there are major problems with sewage, which needs a lot of capex, and we need to bite the bullet. Now, we've had three workshops, I think, on the current budget this year. We identified at the last one, I think, $300,000 of expenditure that may have been a little bit in question, but after going around the council and the councillors all discussing it, we end up with $10,000 worth of savings. So, obviously, I think it was mentioned before that we've got different councillors here, they represent different parts of the community, and within the 10 of us, we couldn't agree on cutting programs except to the extent of $10,000. So that shows. Also, I think within that $300,000, there's also we already committed to some things like the tourism budget. Oh, we hadn't committed to it because it obviously goes through tonight, but that was fairly well progressed by then, and some other things that had already started to progress this year. So those programs that we're talking about there, they can be reviewed over the next 12 months. There's a couple of other programs in council that can also be part of that. So, and also I just relate to the family daycare and the volunteer programs when we looked at those last year. So we've got to get a feeling for what the community wants and what they're prepared to pay for it. Once again, the financial assistance grant has also impacted on this year's bottom line, so therefore, you know, the reason for the 4% increase. And also, there's an example of governments withdrawing funds like this and pushing more costs down onto the local government. Unlike other forms of government that appear to be doing at the moment, we need to have a long-term view of our finances, not just make decisions according to what's popular. Because they're only short-term fixes and they only create inconsistencies and confusion. As you would be aware from all the meetings that we have on finances, I take a lot of interest in the finance of the council. At every opportunity, I scrutinise the revenue and expenditure and ensure that we are effective and efficient in how we raise and spend our monies. I was a member of the Finance and Governance Committee prior to the function being taken to the whole of council and also a member of the council's audit committee. I am satisfied that the budget proposed for 2015-16, which is the first year of the long-term financial plan, is a responsible budget. I realise that it may not be a popular budget with some members of the community, however it meets the objectives that will ultimately bring the council into an underlying surplus in the next 4 years and therefore ensure the sustainability of this council. Thank you.
And the year that you're talking, I think, was 2016-17.
Yeah.
2016-17. Councillor Bastow.
I'm disappointed to see in here in the rates and charges area, 7.3, about the standard garbage collection and the recycling collection, that there's no provision for a green waste collection, and it's something we've talked about, and I guess this means it'll be another year then before we can even think about bringing it in if it's not mentioned here in the budget.
You're correct, and Mr. Reeve indicated some meetings ago that this financial year he is going to do the work with a recommendation to council this year, and if we are to follow through on that, that will be effective for the next financial year.
Thank you.
Councillor Chatterd.
Just a question through you to the General Manager, if I may. For the sake of the tape, could you explain the $1 million extra in depreciation? What is the percentage increase in rates that's required to cover that $1 million depreciation?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Chatterton, in round terms, a 1% increase is equivalent to approximately 200,000. So you'd effectively be looking at a 5% rate increase to address your question.
So to go back to that, if I may, Mr. Mayor, to the General Manager. So the 4% increase in rates is really covering all going towards the $1 million in depreciation.
Mr. Arnold?
If you put it in that, through you, Mr. Mayor, if you put it in that context, Councillor Chatterton, I appreciate where you're coming from.
Sorry, Councillor Winter, you snuck up on me that time. Usually ahead of the game there. You didn't tell it that one.
Look, I had a whole bunch of stuff to say on this, and I said it all accidentally in the long-term financial plan. But anyway, I'll be very brief. I appreciated the much more the much better workshop process we had, and I was able to identify some things that I thought were things that we could review in terms of expenditure to the value of, I think, $370,000. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get the support, albeit we didn't go to a vote or anything, but I will revisit them, perhaps with notices of motion, this financial year, with a view to reviewing them in a budget context. It is difficult, I'll say, though, when you're dealing with these things. There are so many good things that come to us, you know, great little programs, great ideas, a lot of passion behind them, and in isolation, you say, yep, I will spend $50,000, $100,000 on that, and it's quite easy to do in that context, but it's only when you get in the budget context that you're really able to review these things properly. And if I were King, that'd be something that I'll be doing is actually paying more attention to some of the programs in a budget context. And that's why I can't support this motion either. I would like to see there were some savings that I thought we could make, which would, albeit they wouldn't completely eradicate the need for a rate rise, I think from the General Manager's assessment there, even if you did save $400,000, you'd probably still be increasing rates by 2% this year, but, I think that's pretty well in keeping, close to CPI. Unfortunately, I can't support this. I'm not far off supporting it. As I said, I hope that I'm able to support the budget next year.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillor Atkinson?
Thank you, Mayor. I think everyone sitting around this table wants to minimise rate increases. But there's no one sitting here that says, hooray, we're putting up rates. We're all conscious that there's some members of our community or our municipality that find it very hard to pay these increases, and this is why we put this time and energy into talking about it. What's interested me in that is that, and several people have touched on it, we have sat around and said, looked through the budget in quite fine detail and said, what can we agree that we can cut out of this? And there's been very little that, as a group of 10 people, we can say we're prepared to cut this. We're elected to represent our community, and part of that is to say, it's to solve that eternal question, what should council do? And the 10 of us are trying to work out what should council do, and when we look down that list of things we do, we can't find much that we can agree we shouldn't be doing. So, for me, I'm comfortable that what we're spending money on is about right. It may not be perfect, but it's the best the 10 of us can find as to what council does and what our role is. That's why I'll support this budget. I think that we've looked at it, the 10 of us. We've gone to the staff, to the officers, and said, how else can we change this? What can we do? And this is what we've arrived at. I think it's a good budget. I think it represents what we think the community expects from this council, and so that's why I'll support it.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Reid?
Look, I think what Councillor Atkinson has just said sums it up pretty well, because we're not sitting here rubbing our hands together going, goody, we're going to have lots more money and so we can spend it on lots of other things. And that's probably a frustration. I mean, I share Councillor Bastine's view and have done for many years that it'd be great to have green waste collection, but that's going to come at a cost, so at a recurrent cost. So what are we going to cut from what we're doing at the moment in order to pay for that? And 10.2 sums it up. saying, you know, should there not be support for particular aspects of the budget, decisions will need to be made on what to cut to ensure that there are sufficient funds. And that is the frustration that I guess I'm having, in that we went through a process, and we went through it a couple of times, really, at the workshop up at Twin Ovals, and then down here, I think, on at least one occasion, might have even been two further workshops, where we just couldn't come to an agreement on what items should go in order to either reduce the rate increase or to fund some new ventures. So that's the frustration, and that's at the heart of what we're going to have to keep at the back of our minds, not just in this year but in coming years, if we're going to succeed in sticking to the long-term financial plan, now that we've actually just, the majority of us have voted for it and that's been adopted. And so I guess every time someone has a good idea, it's going to be incumbent upon that person to also say, well, I'd like to move a motion to suggest that we do this, but we also cut X, Y, or Z to pay for it. Because I think otherwise it's irresponsible and puts the rest of us then in a difficult situation if we don't do that. So, look, it is going to be difficult to sell this to the community. I think that there were some figures that I think we saw at the last budget, which show that because of the Beretta levy going and the other one, stormwater, thank you, that was the word. I'm not going to hear the rain. The stormwater coming on, the difference there meant that 4% was really 3.5% or 3.3% or something like that. It's still an increase and it still will remain difficult for us. We're still going to get hauled through the media for doing it, and I'm sure the property council will rub their hands together with glee and say, aha, we were right, we knew we were going to do it. But that's just, we're going to have to live with that for the foreseeable future, and in knowing that we're actually doing the right thing by being fiscally responsible.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Fox?
I just confirmed with my colleague that last year's rate was actually a 4% increase as well. And this year is a 4% increase, and although we're putting up the stormwater charge, that's actually less than the Beretta tip, I understand. So, in fact, we're going backwards. We're going down. So we've got a 2% annual growth in this community. We're one of the fastest growing municipalities in Tasmania. We've got very little opportunity to generate income, and this is our only opportunity. And we have a lot of programs and projects which the community is asking us for that we are unable to achieve. And a lot of infrastructure that's collapsing because a lot of it was put in at the same time and it's ageing, and we've been told in no uncertain terms by the government we have to maintain that infrastructure. It always concerns me that our rate increase is not actually keeping up with the demand, that we are actually getting behind. We've always been behind, and even though 4% sounds a lot, we're actually going backwards. But I do support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. I guess the other aspect too that hasn't been touched on and was almost touched on is we're going through a time of climate change. The erosion of some of our foreshores is undermining in some places our roadworks, and that's going to continue to occur, so that we do need to spend money in those particular areas. So I just want to mention that. I agree with all councillors. Look, none of us want to see a rate increase, but I think if we don't allow rate increases, then we are, as Councillor Fox said, effectively going backwards. And if we go backwards, then there's got to be a large rate increase to put us back in line, and that could be in the order of 10, 15, 20%, depending on the time frame of any lapse. So, unfortunately, I don't see any other ways. It's not something that I really want to see, but I think if we would be negligent not to undertake a small rate increase for the sake of pleasing everyone, to find out in 5 years' time, as I said, that we needed a 20% increase.
you have a question, Councillor Chadwick?
No, I was going to say something. I asked a question before. I haven't spoken yet, Mr. Mayor.
I've got you down. If you asked a question, over to yourself now.
What I was going to say, Mr. Mayor, is that I think there's, if you can't cut your expenditure because you want all the programs that you that we want and we want to do the things that we want to do as a collective group of 10 people, you've got to have the money. There's only two ways of getting money. One is to increase your rates and the other is to borrow. And to borrow, to me, is not the best way to go because all you're doing is loading a burden on the ratepayer for years to come. And we've sat down here some many years ago and looked at borrowings and we looked at, okay, the interest rates are cheap at the moment, I understand that, but when you look at how you're going to pay your capital and your interests back over a period of time, you end up with a higher percentage of rate income needed because you've still got to do your programs and you've got to start paying that debt back. So it's putting a more of a noose around your neck. We're very, very lucky, Council, that we have no debt. There are a lot of councils in Tasmania that do have debt and substantial debt. And we're very, very lucky that we don't. And we, by having, keeping the council debt-free and paying for our programs by cash revenue, we are actually making it cheaper for the ratepayer.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. I'll ask Councillor Grace to close debate.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Chatterton's comments regarding borrowing money, well, I've got a different view to his on that because maybe that's why this council is in such a mess with some of its assets, because it hasn't borrowed the money to bring those assets up to standard. They've continued to put money, well, bad money into bad money to try and do a patch repair rather than biting the bullet. But that's my opinion, and I've raised that several times. Also raised the fact about gravel roads compared to sealed roads. We spend $500,000 on material for roads, and what happens to it tonight? It'll be washed down the drains and we'll be back there next day doing it again. But that's my view. What we have gained, and I must say, and again, after this council thought hard, I think the most achievement we achieved out of at the last minute of this budget was the fact that now we're going to get a fire officer. And I thought that was something that's going to be extremely good for this community. But I have no further to say on the budget, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. For the sake of the audio, I will read the motion as moved by Councillor Grace and seconded by Councillor Fox, that A, in accordance with Section 82 of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, the Council adopts the estimates of revenue and expenditure, excluding estimate capital works, for the 2016-17 financial year as detailed in the annual plan. B, in accordance with Section 82(6) of the Act, Council authorises the General Manager to make minor adjustments up to $50,000 to any individual estimate item as he deems necessary during the 2016-17 financial year, provided that the total of estimates remain unaltered. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hand. Councillors in favour are Councillors Grace, Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Moss, and opposing the motion, Councillor Winter, motion is carried. On page 65 is rate resolutions part 1A. I have a mover in Councillor Chatterton and I have a seconder in Councillor Percy. Councillor Chatterton.
To help Councillor Grace, this is moving that the cents in the dollar is $0.2875 of the dollar of capital value, or 2.857 for capital value, in respect of the rateable land in the municipality, and that's what the actual rates multiplied by your capital value by that point, and that's what you get your dollars and how it's worked out. Simple as that. End of story.
Thank you. I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Percy, that in accordance with the provisions of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, Council makes a general rate component for land within the municipal area for the period 1 July 2016 to 30 June 2017 of 0.2857 cents in the dollar of capital value in respect of all rateable land within the municipal area. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? I'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour? Ah, councillors. Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass. And opposing the motion, councillors Grace and councillor Winter. Motion is carried. Rates resolution part 1B is the next item. I have a move from Councillor Chatterton, and I have a seconder in Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Chatterton.
As this one says, Mayor, this is for predominantly used for industrial purposes, and that the rate would be 0.5873 cents in the dollar on capital value of such rateable land.
Thank you. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chatterton, seconded by Councillor Atkinson. And it says, pursuant to Section 107 of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, the Council, by absolute majority, hereby varies the general rate component, as previously made, for land within the municipal area for which is used or predominantly used for industrial purposes to 0.5873 cents in the dollar of capital value of such rateable land. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are councillors Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass. And opposing the motion, we have councillors Winter and Grace. Motion is carried. On page 66 is rates resolution part 1C in relation to commercial purposes. And I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. I have a mover in councillor Berry and Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Berry, as printed. Councillor Bastone.
I'm just wondering if I can ask a question on this.
You certainly can.
What was the decision of the council as regarding Airbnb properties that were now Airbnb? Will they fall under this section?
Mr. Jones, I think, might have a handle on this one.
At this stage, bed and breakfast properties are still classified as commercial properties by the Office of Valuer General, so this is where the classification sits. Oh, sorry, Airbnb. Yeah. Sorry. No, it depends on whether classified by the Valuer General is how we have to rate them. So if the Valuer General is not aware of a property being a B&B, then it may not be rated as commercial.
Answers all your questions, Councillor Bastone. Thank you. Councillor Winter?
I was just going to touch on briefly on the Airbnb issue we've got. My memory of the previous issue when it was raised was that as soon as these, as a planning application went through for a change of use where someone would be using the property for Airbnb, they would then start receiving or start being charged a commercial rate. Does anyone have a difference of opinion, or is that incorrect?
I'll ask Mr. Jones. I know Mr. Jones has had a lot of dealings, and I think that's correct, but if Mr. Yep. Jones can answer.
I didn't
that.
Quite hear the question properly.
Sorry, the question was, my recollection was that once a property owner puts in an application to use their property for Airbnb through the planning scheme, they are then our rates department is then alerted, and that property is then started to be commences being charged as a commercial property.
Yes, as applications that come to council for a change in use are flowing through to the rates department, and we notify the Valuer General, and they will then change rating.
I said this when he did it last year. This is a silly move to have a differential rating between commercial and residential. It's not what we've historically done at Kingborough Council, and it shouldn't be something we're doing. It's actually very regressive in terms of policy. That the difference between residential and commercial properties is getting smaller. People are working from home more. This is a lifestyle thing. People are working from home more. People are renting out their property with Airbnb, and we all know that very well. And I think that this council is going to have to change this and move back to having the same rate set for residential and commercial properties. And I think it'll probably be fairly soon, and I expect It may even be in this term of council, and so I'll be voting against this because I really do have a problem with us charging in this way, and I think that we need to respect the fact that the world's changing, and there's going to be less and less difference between home and work as people work more from home and businesses continue to operate from home and not necessarily have an office.
Thank you, Councillor Winner. Councillor Gray.
Just enlighten me, Mr. Mayor, if somebody can. We had this in last year. Was it the first time we had commercial? Or we increased it, didn't we, last year? What effect did it have? Much effect did we get a lot of people, commercial stuff, the rates for Antarctic Division?
As far as Airbnb goes, we had two or three approaches looking at a rate.
But not a significant outcry with this?
I'll ask the General Manager to respond, Councillor Grace.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grace, I think you're referring to the fact that last year, for the first time, we changed from what was previously AAV rating to capital improved, and that did impact on a number of commercial properties.
Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I'm only speaking just because Councillor Lemon has raised the issue of Airbnb. I agree that Airbnb is a complex issue because if you rate those properties as commercial, then they're in competition with people who haven't said anything about what they're doing. If you rate them as residential, then they're in competition with other B&Bs, and possibly the solution is Councillor Winter's solution, which is to rate commercial properties the same as residential. I'm not sure that's the solution, but I think I know that there's a lot more talk about working from home recently. There have been people working from home for decades. All this, you know, shared economy and Airbnb has become highlighted, but the idea of people working from home offices or small offices from home and those not being treated commercial properties has been a thing for decades. So I don't think that that's a particularly huge change in our society recently. But I agree that there are issues to deal with those small businesses at home, whether they should be treated as commercial or not. But I'll be supporting this recommendation because I don't see an alternative for this coming year.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Do you wish to close debate, Councillor Berry? If you don't. Councillors, for the sake of the audio, I will read it. The motion that you're going to vote on, it was moved by Councillor Berry, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, that pursuant to Section 107 of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, the Council by absolute majority hereby varies the general rate component as previously made for land within the municipal area which is used or predominantly used for commercial purposes to 0.5169 cents in the dollar of capital value of such rateable land. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. The next item is item page 66, number 5, Rates Resolution, Part 2.
I'll say move.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Anything you wish to say, Councillor Fox?
No, if you like, I'll read the motion.
Yeah, you may read it.
Pursuant to Section 90(4) of the Local Government Act 1993, as amended, in making a general rate, the Council sets a minimum amount of $322 in respect of all rateable land within the municipal area for the period of 1st of July 2016 to the 30th of June 2017.
Thank you. I'll put that recommendation, moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, and just nicely read by Councillor Fox. Those councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. Next page is page 67, Rates Resolution Part 3. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. And Councillor Percy. Anything you'd like to add, Councillor Chadden?
This one's just covering the mobile garbage bins, the 80-litre bin, which is the average bin that is in most households for 94, and it gives us the choice to offer the ratepayers who wish to have a 120 or a 140 litre garbage bin would be 146, and those that wish to go to 240 would be 242. So the ratepayer has a choice.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Bastone.
I'll be voting against this because, as I said before, there is no provision in here for people to pay for green waste, and I think that's something that should be we should be doing as a responsible council.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm glad to see that we charge more to people that produce more rubbish, and I was pleased during the year that Mr. Reeve discussed with us the production of a proper waste strategy. I think it's important to indicate to people that there's a cost in disposal of waste. This does that very clearly, and it gives people incentive to reduce the waste they're producing. I agree with Councillor Bastone that green waste is an important issue, and I look forward to seeing what's presented to us later during next year. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll put the recommendation, councillors. Moved by Councillor Chadden, second by Councillor Percy. That pursuant to section 94(1) of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, the council makes the following charges for land within the municipal area for the period of 1 July 2016 to the 30th of June 2017. A garbage collection charge of $94 for each residential or commercial unit that is provided with a council garbage collection service utilising an 80 litre mobile garbage bin, whether that service is used or not. B. Pursuant to section 94(3)(a) of the Act, the council by absolute majority determines to vary the garbage collection charge as follows. 1. For each residential or commercial unit that is provided with a council garbage collection service utilising a 120 or 140 litre mobile garbage bin, the service charge is varied to $146. 2. To each residential or commercial unit that is provided with a council garbage collection service utilising a 240 litre mobile garbage bin, the service charge is varied to $242. Councillors, I'll ask you to vote. Those in agreement, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a show of hands or division, please. Councillors in favour are Councillors Winter, Grace, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass, and opposing the motion, Councillor Bastone. Motion is carried. 7. Rates Resolution Part 4. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Do you wish to say anything there, Councillor Grace, in relation to recycling? Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Similar to my previous comments, on this I'm going to vote against it because it's sending the incorrect message to the community. It's saying the more recycling they do, the more we'll charge them. I understand it's a cost to council to collect recycling, but we should be providing incentive for people to recycle rather than punishing them for it, so I'll be voting against it.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy. Pursuant to section 94(1) of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, the council makes the following charges for land within the municipal area for the period 1 July 2016 to 30 June to 1st of July 2016 to 30th of June 2017. A recycling collection charge of $52 for each residential or commercial unit that is provided with a council recycling collection service utilising a 140 litre mobile recycling bin, whether that service is used or not. B. Pursuant to section 94(3)(a) of the Act, the council by absolute majority determines to vary the recycling collection charge as follows. 1. For each residential or commercial unit that is provided with a council recycling collection service utilising a 240 litre mobile recycling bin, the charge is varied to $85. I'll ask councillors that wish to vote in favour to please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are Councillors Winter, Grace, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Reet and Wass, and opposing the motion, Councillors Bastone and Atkinson. Motion is carried. The 8th one is the Rates Resolution Part 5A and deals with stormwater. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Percy. Anything to be said, Councillor Grace? All been said? Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy, that pursuant to section 93 of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended,
the council makes the following charges for land within the municipal area for the period 1 July 2016 to the 30th of June 2017. A. A stormwater removal rate of 0.0056 cents in the dollar of capital value of such rateable land within the municipal area. Councillors in favour of this motion, please say aye. Those against? We will have... We will have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are Councillors Grace, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass. And opposing the motion, Councillors Winter and Bastone. Motion is carried. We'll move on to page 69, Rates Resolution, Part 5B, which relates to stormwater again. Moved by Councillor Percy and seconded by Councillor Berry. Anything to add, Councillor Percy?
No, this resolution is just to make sure that there's an amount of $56 for stormwater charge, so I'm in favour of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Berry, pursuant to Section 93(3) of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, the Council in making a stormwater removal rate sets a minimum amount of $56 in respect of all rateable land within the municipal area for the period of 1st of July 2016 to the 30th of June 2017. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Councillors in favour are Councillors Grace, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass. And opposing the motion, we have Councillors Winter and Bastone. Motion is carried. Next item is 10, Rates Resolution, Part 5C, which relates to... Thank you, Councillor Reed. And thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Nothing to add. Thank you. I'll put the recommendation, Councillors, moved by Councillor Reed, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, pursuant to Section 1294 of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended. The Council determines that for a member of the class of ratepayers whose liability to pay the stormwater removal rate assessed in accordance with the resolution Part 5A previously made arises for more than one property in the municipal area or a remission of the stormwater removal rate shall automatically be granted for such of that member's properties which A. only have erected upon them a boat shed, jetty, ramp or similar structure for access to littoral or riparian waters, B. do not have the qualities of a minimum lot as defined by the Local Government Building and Miscellaneous Provision Act 1993, except where land, such land could be adhered to other lands in the same ownership so as to comprise a block which has the qualities of the minimum lot, and C. the above remission may be withdrawn where the rates have not been paid in full by the due date. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 70. Rates Resolution Part 6 relates to the fire rate. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Berry, that pursuant to Section 93A of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, and the provisions of the Fire Service Act 1979 as amended, Council makes the following rates for land within the municipal area for the period of the 1st of July 2016 to the 30th of June 2017. A. A permanent brigade district fire rate of 0.059437 cents in the dollar of capital value, subject to a minimum amount of $38 in respect of all rateable land within the permanent brigade rating district. B. A volunteer brigade district fire rate of 0.018083 cents in the dollar of capital value, subject to the minimum amount of $38 in respect of all rateable land within the volunteer brigade rating district. And C. A general land fire rate of 0.014257 cents in the dollar of capital value, subject to a minimum amount of $38 in respect of all rateable land within the municipal area, which is not with in the permanent brigade rating district or the volunteer brigade rating district? I'll ask councillors to those in favour to please say. Sorry, I've closed the debate. Councillors in favour to please say aye. Those against? Is carried unanimously. Rates resolution part 7, payment of rates and charges. Penalties and interest and supplementary rates, moved by Councillor Chadden and seconded by Councillor Weeder. Any debate? Okay. I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Chadden and seconded by Councillor Winter. Payment of rates and charges. Pursuant to Section 124 of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, the rates for 2016-17 shall be payable in four instalments. The dates by which the rates are due to be paid are the first instalment, 15th of August 2016, the second instalment, the 31st of October 2016, the third instalment, 31st of January 2017, the fourth instalment, 28th of April 2017. Penalties and interest, pursuant to Section 128 of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, where an amount of rates remains unpaid for 1 month and after the due date, a penalty of 5% of the unpaid amount, together with interest on the unpaid amount at a rate of 8.40% per annum, calculated monthly in arrears, shall be applied. Supplementary rates, A, pursuant to sections 89A, 92 and 109N of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended. If a supplementary valuation is made of any land prior to the 30th of June 2017, the General Manager may, at his discretion, adjust the amount payable in respect of any or all rates for that land for that financial year in line with the new valuation. And B, if a rates notice is issued by the General Manager under subclause A, the amount shown as payable on that notice is due to be paid within 30 days of the date on which that notice is issued. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? And it's carried unanimously. Also on page 71 is the Capital Works Program. I have Councillor Bastone and Councillor Grates. No discussion. I will put the recommendation as moved by Councillor Bastone, seconded by Councillor Grates, that Council A, pursuant to Section 82 of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, adopts the Capital Works Program for the 2016-17 financial year as detailed in the annual estimates. B, notes that the draft Capital Works Program proposed for financial years 2017-18, 2018-19, 2019-20, 2020-21, as detailed in the annual plan, which remains subject to change, depending on other priorities being identified and financial resources which may be available at the time. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That motion is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 72, fees and charges. Thank you, Councillor Berry. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Any discussion? I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Berry, seconded by Councillor Fox, that in accordance with Section 205 of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended, Council adopts the fees and charges schedule for the 2016-17 financial year as detailed in the annual estimates. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Councillors against? We will have a show of hands, please. Councillors in favour are Councillor Huz, Winter, Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wasson. Opposing the motion, Councillor Grace. Motion is carried. The next item